Matthew chapter 24, we're in lesson 77 in the dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And we left off in verse 44 last week in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord, delay is coming, he shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of the servants shall come in the day when he looked not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, that shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. From this verse forward, as we look down through it, don't sound too happy for the ones that's not is a false servant, isn't it? But the one that's happy, it is. This verse forward is what the little flock shall do in his absence. We got to remember Matthew chapter 23, 24, 25 is hard to understand for some people that don't understand the Word of God rightly divided. It's applying to that little flock and what the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing to leave. And leave that little flock in his absence, and he's saying, here's what you got to do. So the faithful servant will rule over his household to give them meat in due season. And blesses this faithful saint whom the Lord finding doing what he said he will do in his return. He will reward him accordingly. So that faithful servant is going to take care of what the Word of God is doing. So that meat is the Word. So that faithful servant that's left behind, is he going to tell the believers, oh, whoa, Christ is not coming back? You know, forget, you know, he's died and he's buried and his bones are over here. No, he's going to continue to feed them the Word of God, rightly divided for them to understand why he is gone and what to do. Now, the evil servant will say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. You know what that is? That's willfully living, doing it my way, in which we resort in wrath. If I say, hey, the Lord's not coming, go out, eat and drink, be merry. That's what that evil servant's doing in his heart. He's saying, don't worry about it, do whatever you want to do. The Lord's gone. But the problem with the wicked servant is that he says in his heart, the Lord isn't coming. Now, contrast today. You got your ears to the ground. You got people says that the resurrection is already passed. In Paul's day, people said that. Hey, the resurrection already passed. You're still here. You got people say, hey, when you're dead like a dog. You got people say, hey, there is no rapture or catching away or whatever. You're going to live forever. There is no hell. All kinds of doctrines out there. That comes from right here. And it also comes from right here in your spirit that you don't understand the Word of God rightly divided. Now, I understand a lot of things that I don't understand. But what I know is when I understand the Word of God rightly divided, I understand that God gave me a parameter in which I can understand what God is doing today. And everything else falls into place around that. So when people ask me some questions about some things, automatically in my mind I can say I know what it's not. When it comes to, say, healings or speaking in tongues or baptism or stuff like that, I know what it's not. Pertaining what they say it is. The importance of this word, saying it in the heart, is the man's attitude. From the heart is where you speak. You be faithful and take the meat of the Word of God and I give it. That's what Lord Jesus Christ is saying to them. And teach it and preach it and give it out. That's what he's leaving that commission to that little flock to do. You don't decide in your heart that you don't want the Lord to come back and want to do it your way. That's that wicked servant. And that will disqualify you from service. That's what he's doing. He's lining people up. He's letting the people know that's faithful, this is what you're doing. People's unfaithful, this is what they're doing. Now the faithful, we're going to look in chapter 25. There's a parable with regard to the issue of faithful service. He talks about who is the faithful and wise servant. And the faithful servant in chapter 24 is the one who keeps on giving out the meat and does exactly what the master's left him to do. Now there's a contract. When I mentioned you ever heard the word contradiction? Have you ever heard people say, oh, the Bible contradicts itself? You know there's no contradictions in your Bible, don't you? They're contrasts. They're opposites. See? And that's what you look at. Today, are you not supposed to be faithful in what God gave you to do until He returns? And it comes from your heart. From the heart you have known the form of sound doctrine. You believed it. But in chapter 24, you have a faithful servant. In chapter 25, there's a parable of virgins. You have the wise servant. Now go to chapter 25. We're going to start chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the wise said unto the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The chapter begins with a parable on the wise servant and the foolish servant. And then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took the lamps and went forth to the bridegroom. Those virgins are described in the passage as tribulation saints that will not defile by the woman Babylon. Go to we're going to look at Revelation chapter 14 in a few minutes, but you can be turning there if you want to. But they're not going to be defiled by the woman Babylon. The issue here has to do with idolatry. It has to do with drinking the wine of religious systems that the Antichrist sets up over there. And when the Antichrist comes in and makes a covenant with the nation Israel, he is going to reinstitute Israel's religious life. The same life that they had over here that they thought they was doing so good at, that Christ put the end to it. The Antichrist is going to come right back over here and institute that sacrifice and the blood offerings and the drinkings and all that stuff. And the people that don't understand who God is and has the book of Hebrews through Revelation to understand the word right divided, they're going to be sucked right into that. Because why? They believe he's God. And isn't God said he done these things over here? So they take the word of God and wrongly divide it. You got to remember, you know when we talked about the fig tree and how God cursed that fig tree? If God cursed that fig tree, it's not going to bring fruit again. So what does the Antichrist do? It looks at that fig tree that God's cursed and said, I'm going to prosper it. It's going to grow. It's going to bear fruit. See, it should not, what's the word I'm looking for? Surprise you, that's a good simple word, surprise you that everything God the Creator does, the Antichrist, God of this world, does the same.
Counterfeit.
okay? And whether it's good, he's going to make it better, supposedly. And that's why I said in the onset and some things about you got God's viewpoint, you got Satan's viewpoint, and you got human's viewpoint. You always have two viewpoints against God. Seems like all through the Bible, it's always two against one. You know, that type of thing. But he cursed Israel's religious system. But the Antichrist rebuilds the temple and reinstates their animal sacrifices and draws away from the faith in Christ to faith in himself. That's fallen apostasy. That's departing from the faith. You don't see that today, do you? You know it's true today when people understand the Word of God and get saved by Christ plus nothing else. They get departed and pulled in and sucked into a religious system saying this is what you have to do to not only to be saved, but to continue to be saved. It's all through the Bible. You know, in any dispensation that we lived in or they lived in or was going to live in or in the ages come, this has always been a factor. In the tribulation, the whole religious system will be a design to cause people to drink the wine of Baal and worship and commit spiritual fornication. And that day, there will be a literal fornication. They're literally going to be drinking and partying stuff with Baal. Antichrist. Over here, it was a spiritual thing, and today it's a spiritual thing. If you don't think you can't commit spiritual fornication, you're lying to yourself. Because I'm looking at many of you right now, you came out of that. You may not have known it, but you was committing fornication with other gods and other religions.
That's right.
And you know, it's for some, you know, I know that's hard to swallow sometimes, but you know what? Just clear your mind. Because that's not who you are no more. I hope it's not who you are no more. But anyway, I'm not including Cleveland Browns, guys. I'm not including that temple they got up here, the street up here. But yeah, that could follow into it, couldn't it? Worldly stuff. But there's a literal Vestal virgins that are called into Baal worship. I looked up that word Vestal virgins, and they actually used virgins, Romans and all that stuff, and Greeks and stuff, actually used virgins to be in the temple worship. So what he's going to do over here, the Antichrist, he's going to convince those people to be those type of people. And Baal worship, let me see something here. Before I go any further, I said Revelation, didn't I? Revelation 14. We need to look at that right quick. So you know what they're going to be doing there. Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount of Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in his forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard a voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as if it were a new song before the throne. Now, where are they at in chapters 13 and stuff? Are they before the throne? They're on this earth. Now they're what? Before the throne. And before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So here's a catching away, if you want to call it that, out of that time period. And they're up there redeemed and singing a new song. Because when the minute, I believe that when this wrath starts over here, those 144,000 which are 12 tribes from the 12,000 from 12 tribes. Sorry, guys, you're not a part of the body of Christ. Is not there. I know your jaw just dropped. I'm sorry. But anyway, they're going to be preaching a gospel against that Antichrist on that throne. And you're not going to be able to touch them. They're sealed. So they get taken out of here, and they're singing a new song in front of the throne of God. Then check this out. And there appear another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and seven crowns upon his head, and he drew his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now you know what that is. That's talking about the Antichrist or Satan that's taking the one third of his tail's taking one third of the angels out of there. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place to prepare of God that they... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm 12. I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry. I know. You should say, hey, where you at, preacher? Oh, I'm so sorry. I turned the page on me. Look, verse 14:3. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with what? Now, what's the parable we're looking at? Virgins, aren't we? So these guys are not defiled women, for they are virgins, and these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. See, they were sealed down there, and there's nothing that they could be defiled about. Verse 6, And I saw another angel fly into the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Uh-oh. Here comes a gospel that the angel's going to preach, and what does he call it?
Everlasting.
Now what... Does Galatians chapter 1 verse 8 remind you of anything? Though we or an angel of heaven preach any other gospel. Here is an angel from heaven going to preach a gospel. What if it happens right now? If you understand the word of God, Paul says let him be a curse. Because this is not happening right yet. Then, you know, and not only that, but look. And dwell on the earth to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him the glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the water. So here is a group of people that this angel's coming down to preach a gospel to tell people to believe in God. You see that, don't you? But look at verse 8. And they followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And he said, verse 9, and the third angel, okay, verse 10, look at verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which he poured out in the mixture of the cup of the indignation, and shall torment with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of God. Go to Revelation chapter 2. There's a drink offering that's poured out here that Baal worship is doing there. That's what I was trying to get you to see, that there's that 144,000 are virgins that's not going to be defiled. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat the things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. You see that Baal worship? You see what it does? Verse 14, that's 14, go to 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat the things sacrificed unto idols. Go back to Matthew. That's what's going on there. It's idolatry. And if you don't think, what I said before, if you don't think you and I can get caught up in that, even though you're saved, you're fooling yourself. So in Baal worship, there is a male deity who is associated with and accomplished with a female deity. And the Queen of Heaven, you ever heard of her? You know, I did a search last night to find out how many churches in this area, Queen of Heaven, there's one right up here in the green. The Queen of Heaven Church.
I never heard of it.
Okay? But look, turning Jeremiah 14, Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. In reality, the Queen of Heaven is the mother of the male deity. Remember we talked about Isis? And Isis is a mother figure holding a child. You know? You don't know any religions right now that pushes a child in our mother's arms right now, do you?
Yep.
You know you do. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 18. This Queen of Heaven is real as the Word of God is real. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 18. The children gathereth wood, and the fathers kindled the fire. And the woman kneaded their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. That's what they're doing. And Israel jumped right in there. Go to chapter 44. Chapter 44, Jeremiah. Chapter 44. Jeremiah chapter 44, starting with verse 17. But we will certainly do whatsoever thinking goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers and our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and the cities and the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuallers, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burnt incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Man, they're doing this to live. Look at verse 25. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hand, and saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, and ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Those verses identify the Queen of Heaven, and Israel was right in with that. And you want to be a part of that system? And you want people to be a part of that system? That's idolatry. That's fornicating. 400, 500, 600 years before Christ come, he's talking about the apostate Baal worshiping crowd. See, Lord Jesus Christ knew what they was doing. He could tell from their hearts, and he says, and they have priests called fathers. These people do. You get that thing and you begin to go with it, and pretty soon you find out why people don't like the Word of God. Because that word of God's going to expose what they're worshiping. They're true who they are. That's why a lot of them just throws it over there. Say, hey, that Bible reads you. You know that? It reads me every day. It convicts me every day. This is what they're talking about over in Revelation that we read. Don't get mixed up with the Antichrist system, that Baal worship, that Babylon religion. That is the issue about not being defiled. So when God's talking about the virgins and stuff, that we're going back to Matthew chapter 25, he's referring to this time period over here that when he's gone, he leaves. Lord Jesus Christ leaves, and he hasn't been back yet. That's a long time. For some people, it's too long. And like, oh, well, he's not coming back, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Even in the dispensation of grace, people say that. But look, he's talking about over there. The virgins are tribulation saints who have kept themselves unspotted from that. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps. Notice there's 10 virgins. What's the number of Gentiles in your Bible?
10.
And you say, you know, you might say to yourself, well, I thought these virgins were tribulation saints. Well, they are. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ tell them to do, commission them to do after he left? Go into what? All the world. So they're going out to the Gentiles with that kingdom gospel right here. That's their commission. First to Jerusalem, right? And they're taking the word out to the Gentiles during that tribulation period. The gospel of the kingdom is to be a witness to all the world. We saw that in Matthew 13. And they are to sow into the world during the Lord Jesus Christ's absence. It's not us doing it now. Because we know he came back and offered the nation Israel a second chance over there, didn't he? Look. Notice in the line that they took their lamps. And you need to symbolize in the parable and understand this isn't the church, the body of Christ, and this isn't the dispensation of grace. It's talking about a period over there in his absence. And he's talking about that period over there, and he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And this is Jewish. And it's exactly what it says. You know what? You can turn there if you want to, but I'll read it if you don't. Isaiah 62:1. Maybe you should see that. Go to Isaiah 62:1. You ain't got nowhere else to go today. You got an extra hour to do anything you want to do. At least your body's telling you that.
Isaiah
62. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest. Isaiah 62, 1. I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. That's the parable about the lamps. They're going to go out and you're going to shine. So these 10 virgins took their lamps that are burning, and they go out to meet the brides as he comes for the wedding to go into the marriage. That's what they're supposed to do, right? They got 10. They're going out to meet the bride, coming back, and going to be light there. They're bringing light. Go back to 25, Matthew. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. What made the difference? They were foolish, took their lamps, and what did they not do, the foolish?
Didn't prepare. They didn't listen, pay no attention.
They didn't take no oil.
Right.
That's what you got with them. But the wise took the oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarrieth, they all slumber and slept. And at midnight, when they heard the cry, when the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet her. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. You know what that means, don't you? Okay, many of us probably lived in, some of you young enough to realize that you lived in places like that, or your grandmother's, or you camped, or something like that, or your electricity goes out. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy yourself. Now let me ask you something. Does that sound like a Christian thing to do? Not give your brother some oil? It don't bother me. I'm like, you know, it's like, hey, you know, do I have to be your daddy all the time? But anyway, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Do you remember what happened to Noah? He just talked about Noah a couple passages today. God told him to take the boys and their wives and get into the ark. What happened?
She shut the door.
They were ready. They paid attention. And when they went in, God shut the door.
God said, come in, shut the door.
And then there was five wise virgins who were ready when he came, and they went in and God shut the door. Verse 11. Afterwards came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Can you imagine on that ark people saying, hey, I believe you now. That's why I said, you know, like today, the only unpardonable sin that you can have against God is to die unsaved. While you're alive on this earth, you have an opportunity to say, God, I trust you that you died for me and was buried and rose again. I may not understand it, but I trust you. And, you know, now they're wanting like, hey, let me in. Let me in. You ever do that to your family when you was young? And it's be... You're getting in, starting a storm, and you run in the house and shut the door, and you're out, and I, hey, let me in, let me in. Well, you should have ran when I ran. You know, door was open. No, let me in. They're sitting there pouring down. Y'all never played tricks like that, did you? Well, we did. You know, that's all we had to do is trick each other. We didn't have game systems and stuff. I talk about my kids all the time. We used to have walnut fights. You know, rock fights, walnut fights, mud fights. You get hit by a walnut, it hurts when you're in your field, but you made sure you was fortified with plenty of walnuts and you didn't give up until they overran you or something. But look, he said, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What's the point? The point is not salvation. So don't think it's, oh my gosh, they lost their salvation. Because he picked them from right here. Okay? The point is, issue is the service. They're servants. God appointed them to be servants and they're going to serve. And you need to be ready because you don't know when he's coming. And you want to be wise. Don't you want to be wise today? Not wise in your own
conceit.
But what? Wise in the Word of God that he tells us in Thessalonians, there's no need for me to tell you what time. You know the time. Well, these guys didn't know the time. So you know what? We talk about waiting and watching and be ready all the time. Lord, we're ready. Here we go. You know, we do that all the time. That's being wise. But you don't forget to go to work tomorrow, do you? Because if you don't forget, if you forgot to go to work tomorrow, guess what's going to happen? One, your boss may not call you. He probably, we'll let him hang out for a day and suffer. You know. Two, he may call you and say, hey, you got 5 minutes to get here. There's somebody else waiting on your job. Or two, you know you're not going to make no paycheck. And that makes your spouse very uneasy. But look, you want to be wise. What did the wise guys do that the foolish guys didn't? They prepared. They took what? Oil with them. In other words, the wise virgin were prepared in case was a delay. Are they a delay? There's a delay. They took enough oil to get them through all the way through the night. They didn't make out like we're going to be. He's going to be back in like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. All I need is an hour oil. Just Hey, you ever been camping and you made your fire and it was nice? And some of us had tents to sleep in. They got these campers. I mean, they look like houses. But if you ever slept out in a tent or on the ground, I know you have when you was a kid, and you looked over there and that fire was going out and you was starting to shiver and nobody stacked no firewood up, or you know what I mean? And you went in the middle of the night looking in the woods trying to grab whatever you can, and then you built the fire up. Next thing you know, here comes everybody out of their tent. Boy, it's cold out there. I was waiting on you to fix that. But I know enough about camping, and out here running around the guys I run around with, you made sure you had enough oil. Now, I remember one time we was camping on the other side of the river. We had to wade through the river to get there. Why? I don't know. I guess it was more flatter rocks. But and it got cold. And it was on the bottom of a dam, and that mist coming off that dam, and it's damp and cold. And that fire went out, and here goes Billy. He takes the cooler and stuff. I'm going to the Jeep. And 3 o'clock in the morning, dark, going back across some channels, you know, going. And by the time he got over, Jimmy McRae got up and built a fire that you could see from here to Memphis. You know, I mean, like, now he's all wet and cold. You know, we make decisions like that. That's just being lazy. That's not being wise. And then, you know, maybe he won't be back here in 5 minutes, but maybe they're going to have enough oil to burn all night long, so then get ready and be ready when the Lord comes back. That's being wise. You know, if you know that you got an oil, you know, some of us burn oil in our furnace. Winter time's coming, and I'm going on the road. Do I leave a quarter of a tank of fuel that's going to last maybe, 2.5 days for my wife and kids? Or I'm going to call the guy up and say, hey, bring it here. Bring it here. That would be the thing. The whole point with the foolish virgins is that they had to go out and get the oil. Those virgins were not prepared. Not that they was lost. They wasn't prepared. And Christ is showing them that it isn't the time to be unprepared. That's what he's trying to train these 12 in their absence. Hey, don't be caught unprepared. And the oil in a passage, I'm going to share a few more things. The oil in a passage is often said to be the Holy Spirit. You heard about that, haven't you? You know, they say, oh, it's the Holy Spirit in this. But it is, but that just won't work. Because how can I give you, if I'm one of the five that made a wise decision, and that oil is the Holy Spirit, and you had the Holy Spirit, but you didn't prepare for more of the Holy Spirit, how in the world am I going to give you that Holy Spirit from my thing? See, that don't make sense. So it can't be about the Holy Spirit what people say it is. These people are just talking. He wouldn't even... You just can't think about that.
The Holy Spirit don't run dry.
The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. I can't give you my Spirit. Now, I can give you my Spirit, the man's Spirit. I'll tell you a thing or two. Right? But I can't give you the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? God does that. And once he gave it to, he gave it to them. He gave them to them all. So you think about the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. And how many of our folks think, what I said, can you give that be the Holy Spirit to someone else? You can't do that. So that don't fit there. But just give me a little bit of your Spirit. Just get me by. That don't work. They go out and they get the oil, and then they come back and knock on the door, and they still can't get in. So if it's the oil is the Holy Spirit, which they now have, but they still can't get in, you see what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about, the oil that you and they still can't get in. That doesn't make any sense to make the oil the Holy Spirit. So scratch that out of your mind right now. That part of the oil is not the Spirit of God. It isn't talking about that. Or getting saved, or a false servant running out to get saved and then coming back and the Lord wouldn't let him in because he got saved too late. You hear that? It's not that they ran out here and got saved and then run back in here and the door was there. It opened the door, I got saved. It has nothing to do with that. It isn't about salvation. It's all about service and about what these tribulation saints who are in charge and the responsibility to prepare and be ready. Notice in the passage that the delay in Christ's return is clearly predicted. He's going away. He is telling them that he's going to be a while and there is going to be a delay and to prepare. But the whys and view of my going away and delay in my return. I'm going to end right there. But next week I want you to read through Matthew 25, 14 through 30. But the wise is prepared. In the dispensation of grace, are you prepared? In the dispensation of law, could they be prepared? In the dispensation of promise, could they be prepared? In the dispensation of grace, can you be prepared? In the dispensation of kingdom, can you be prepared? In the dispensation of fullness of time, can you be prepared? Yes, you can. Why? You have the oil. You have the way to fill your lamps. You know, you remember Gideon? Wasn't they like 300 of them? And they had a clay pot? Mm-hmm. And they had a fire in there. They hid that clay pot. And they broke that light at the right time. And it shined up everything. And they won battles, didn't they? We have a light in us today, if you think about it, that needs oil. In a sense that we know how to feel it. And, you know, in the coming weeks, we're looking at the... You ever heard of spirit, soul, and body?
Body, soul, and spirit.
Okay. That's what the world says. Just what he said. Body, soul, and spirit. They reverse that. The Bible says it's spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. James talks about... Look at this real quick. If I can get there. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter... This is and get James chapter 3. God says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, and the very good God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got that? Spirit, soul, body. The spirit is right here, is your mind. And if you don't prepare that spirit, and your soul is the real you, your conscience... And then the body. You see it? Spirit, soul, body. But the world, many say body, soul, and spirit. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. You'll see why they say this. Hopefully. James chapter 3. Verse 15. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's body, soul, and spirit. The opposite. But the wisdom, what does it say? The wisdom descended not from above.
It's earthly.
This is earthly. So that's the opposite. Body, soul, spirit. Lord, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the reminder of who we are in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Any